that was held called the Feast of Pentecost, and the people came together and celebrated God's provision to them as the supplier of the harvest, the author of new life through provision of sun and rain to grow the crops. Pentecost in the New Testament, well, we heard that first reference there in the read to us from Shirley, and it sees the disciples gathered together in Jerusalem after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. And the scripture tells us that it was the day of Pentecost. 50 days earlier, you might recall, and as mentioned in the gospel, Jesus appeared to his disciples and basically commissioned them for what was ahead, what was coming. Receive the Holy Spirit, he said to them. And it was as though he had sown into them something that was going to germinate and come to life at a later time. And here it was. Now we're hearing about it, that day of Pentecost, the day of celebration. As 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, God's Holy Spirit was released upon them, a new life, power and blessing was poured out. Just as Peter had explained, the prophet Joel had said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And it'll come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It became an amazing celebration of God's provision once again. But this was a new thing he was doing. A new harvest, a new body of Christ, the church. New life was being poured out. So what is so important about this day for us? God's gift, the Holy Spirit, marks the beginning of the Christian life. Paul says the gift of the Holy Spirit is the beginning of the Christian experience. No one can belong to Christ unless he or she is united with him through the power of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 12:13 we heard today, for by one Spirit we were baptized into one body. Not one of us can be a member of the body of Christ, the church, except by being baptized in the Spirit of God. It may come as no surprise to you. But in John 3, Jesus makes it clear that unless and until you or I are born again by the Spirit of God, we cannot even see the things of the kingdom, let alone be part of it. And I know that many people have had an experience in God of coming to that point of recognition and understanding of seeing, being able to see things of the kingdom of God where we couldn't see them before. And that's what he's referring to here. Jesus said, unless one is born again of the Spirit, he cannot see the things of the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is the empowerment of that new birth. John 6:63 says it is the Spirit who gives life. Just like the Pentecost Day celebration of the harvest of the Jewish people, here now was a celebration of the new life that God poured out on his people. With these first Christians, there was no doubt in anyone's mind that they had been empowered by God. Something had happened. They were visibly different in the way that they behaved. We know that the disciples, when Jesus died, they scattered, his own personal disciples. And others, they scattered. They didn't understand what was going on. But here they were gathered together and waiting upon God and endeavouring to try and understand what was going on. And now the power of God was poured out upon them. The Spirit might be invisible, but his presence is readily seen in the way he manifests in his people. And that's so vitally important for us to acknowledge. John 3:8 tells us, the wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. And a great unity existed amongst them all, we're told, in that reading again. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. You and I are connected by the Spirit of God together, brothers and sisters in Christ, whether we like it or not, whether we like that person or others, we're together as one, and it's God's doing. If we've signed up with Jesus, then we are brothers and sisters together. The second thing is the Spirit is the power of the new life. Life for a believer, a Christian, is very different from how he or she lived life before. Now it's a matter of relationship, not of keeping the law. And of course, that's what Christianity is about. its connection with Christ. However, whilst the new birth creates a new believer, that new believer is not suddenly totally transformed into the image of Christ. It's an ongoing work. You may have noticed that yourself. Whilst the spirit of the man is no longer dependent on this world and its standards for meaning and satisfaction, he still has human appetites and frailty as part of human society. God has shown us the way, and he wants us to walk in it. And it's a process called sanctification. It's coming into that likeness of Christ more and more. To have the Spirit is to experience a time of tension and conflict between the old life and the new. We were sailing along before, but once we are touched by the Spirit of God, we come to a realization that there is another way to live, another way to walk, another way to be. Paul in Ephesians 4 explains something about this tension. He said, "Don't live as the ungodly do anymore, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are closed, full of darkness. They're far away from the life of God because they've shut their minds and hardened their hearts against him." How much do we see of this in the world today? The great sadness is if we don't look to Christ, we don't have an answer for what life is really about. We don't know what truth is anymore. Paul goes on, he says, they don't care anymore about right or wrong, and they've given themselves over to immoral ways. But that's not what you learned, he said, when you turned to Christ. Since you've learned all about him and heard the truth that is in Jesus, throw off your old evil nature and way of life and turn to Christ. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. And Paul in Romans 12 talks about the renewing of our minds, the changing of our thought processes and patterns. And where does that come from? It comes from the Word of God that God's given us. It's our manual of practice, what to follow. He says you must display a new nature because you're now a new person, created in God's likeness, righteous, holy and true. Now he says, don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he is the one who has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on that final day. And Paul goes on in chapter 8 of Romans to explain that the way to achieve this new life is to walk, in fact, according to the power of God's Spirit now living within us. And in verse 11 of 8, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as he raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal body by the same Spirit living in you. The indwelling Spirit is the power which bears witness to Christ. And in Acts 1:8 we hear, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to him in the rest of the world throughout. And so our lives have taken a different course in the direction of Christ. The spirit of community and of Christ, a major feature of the Spirit is that it can be experienced by all who call upon him. It's his promise to all who would call out to him. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So God's in charge. Paul teaches that it's this that makes a group united together as one body. And again, from that reading this morning, by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. God gives many gifts, but it's the same Spirit or the same Lord who gives. And these gifts are given by God as he chooses to be used for him. And now this is vital for us in his church to understand. The empowering experience of God's Holy Spirit can be a very heady thing, and many of us have had amazing touches of God upon us. And as we say, the Spirit moves where he will and when he chooses and how he chooses. But it's a bit like the wind. The wind blows where it will. We can't see it, but it happens in the manifestation of what comes through it and from it. And we can easily believe that such an experience is for our benefit and our purpose. But the church belongs to God. Jesus became the head of his body at the cross, and the primary purpose of his body on earth is to extend his kingdom. And that's what we're about. It's not just about being happy and contented and connected on Sunday, but it's being enabled on Sunday to go out on Monday into the world to extend the love and the goodness of God to those out there in the world who are bereft without him. And this was very evident on the day of Pentecost. The power of the Holy Spirit on that day came upon them so much that they accepted Christ, and then they were witnesses of his salvation to the whole world. And just like that Pentecost celebration of the Jews who celebrate God's provision of crops and harvest, this was a celebration of new birth as many people came to new life through the Holy Spirit's baptism empowering. And we were told that 3,000 new members of the body were added on that one day, in that just a few hours. 3,000. We could do with a few more here, couldn't we? And I want to say all of this is of God. All of this. And I couldn't help but notice with the readings, they were quite lengthy. But it was all about the experience of God and knowing him and understanding who he is and what he wants for us as his children. He's reached out to us and he's called us to him. And he's empowered us by his Holy Spirit to live that new life that he's called us to live. And it's something of great benefit to all of us. Every experience we have as part of his body is to bring us closer to Christ. We're all called to be like him and to do for him. And that's why the empowering of the Holy Spirit is so vital. Nothing is possible for us without God's empowering Holy Spirit. To be a Christian, we must be born again by the power of God's Holy Spirit to receive this new life. And it's not a fact that because mum and dad went to church that I'm a Christian, or I believe I'm a good person, or I do good things and that makes me one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So no matter how good we might think we are, goodness is not going to get us into the kingdom. It's only Jesus and acceptance of him. Paul in Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Nothing could be more clear. Once we've repented and accepted Jesus into our hearts, it's the Holy Spirit who God gives us, who enables us to live this new life by helping us to overcome sin in our lives. God's Holy Spirit empowering and gifting is not for personal gain or benefit, but to be used for the glory of God and the way we live our lives and the way we speak of Jesus to others around us. I want to remind us all that Christianity is all about Jesus and being just like him. There is no deeper desire in God's heart for us than for each one of us to be transformed into the likeness of his Son. And as we draw closer to God, the more of his life can be seen in us and the more able we are then to live the life of Jesus more fully. Holiness is to be full of Jesus. Hebrews 12:14 tells us, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now that's a tall order, but holiness is God's purpose for us as his children. He wants us to be identified with him, and he wants people out there to identify him in us and through us. Holiness is not a passive state, but involves us actively living God's way, doing what he wants us to do, how he wants us to do it. The Holy Spirit is God's own spirit of holiness given to all of those who desire to follow him. Holiness is not me trying to make myself a better person, but me allowing God to live out of me, to live his life in and through me to his glory. A person may be truly born again because he or she has faith in Jesus, but it doesn't always mean that he has allowed the Holy Spirit to direct his ways, and we can be caught up into this. One of the most difficult things I think to do is to let go and to let God have his way in our hearts and in our lives. We can only walk in holiness when we allow God to have his way in cleaning us up and encouraging us to be all that he desires that we should be. God wants us to have a heart of fire and love for him so that we can bring his life to others. And in a nutshell, that's what it is to be God's people. We're here existing for him God so loved that he wants none to perish, but all to experience holy and everlasting life. So he wants to fill us and overflow us with his Spirit so that we can live and be the people he's called us to be, so that others can see him in us and through us. And I see it's all encapsulated into that. Again, it's all about him and about his way. And that's what we're about, no matter what we do as God's people. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that you've amazingly given your all for us. You allowed Jesus to die upon the cross that our sins might be forgiven, but that we might be accepted as your children and set free. We thank you that you've gifted us with your Holy Spirit to enable us to live the way that you desire that we should. And we thank you that you've given us the capacity to be your witnesses into this world, a sad world, Lord, as we look at it at the present time, so in need of stability and direction. And Lord, that direction is you. You are our purpose. You are our life. And you are the one we call upon, Lord God, at this moment. And Father, on this day of celebration of Pentecost all those years back, the celebration of the beginning of your church, Lord, I pray that you would pour out your power upon us once again in this place. And we pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would come now and that you would touch each one of us, Lord. That you would bring healing, Father, where there is need. We pray that you would bring direction, Father, when we call upon you for it. And Father, we commit ourselves into your hands and we say that we love you, Lord, and we thank you for all that you are. And we give ourselves once again over to you and pray that you would have your way in us and through us. And may it be to the glory and to the praise of your name, now and always, we pray. Amen.